when you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street.
Say, old friend, are you okay? Old friend, are we unique? Time goes by, everything else keeps changing. You and I, we get continued next week. Most friends, they don't make the grade. You once are quickly made, and in a pinch, sure, they'll do. But us, old friend, what's to discuss? Old friend, here's to us, who's like us, share with you. So, old friend, fill me slow. Old friend, start from hello.
As Liza Minnelli put it via Stephen Sondheim, who could put it better? Here's to us, who's like us, damn few. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 WLIW-FM, Long Island's only signature, one-of-a-kind, individual, can't find it anywhere else, NPR station. And that reminder of how well old friends get together and how much they mean to each other is, I think, a wonderfully inspirational note as we begin, yes, listeners, our second decade on the air here on Broadway to Main Street. So I think of you all as old and dear friends. And today we're going to call up via the miracle of Zoom and the internet some of our old friends, some of our clever friends, to use another Sondheim phrase from Sweeney Todd, who've joined us over the years, and see how they're doing and hear what kind of songs they're into these days. So my first virtual phone call goes to David Garrison, Tony-nominated actor in so many wonderful musicals and so many fantastic recordings of great music from the American Musical Songbook.
My gosh, second decade.
Second decade.
By my arithmetic, that's in excess of 500 shows.
Well,
is that possible?
They're reruns, okay, but 437 shows.
Oh, close enough. Yeah. That's pretty impressive. Congratulations.
And thank you. And as I recall, you joined us for a Wizard of Oz show, which we went, I guess, is tried to go back to 1904, but certainly went through the movie and through Wicked, where you played the wizard. In how many performances did you play that part?
I think about 1,200 altogether.
Really?
There was a year and a half on Broadway, and then I took out the national tour for the first year of the tour, and then a little later I went back and did the sit-down in Los Angeles, which then transferred to San Francisco. So all in all, it was about 3.5 years.
Holy Yul Brynner, Batman.
My corporate job, as I called it.
And are you surprised it's still running? I mean, my goodness, it's been 15, 16, 17 years?
Yeah, I'm not actually, because it's a never-ending demographic of young women who are coming into their prime, and you know, only one girl gets to be the prom queen, mm-hmm. and everybody else is the green girl.
Right.
It works for young men as well. There's only one guy who's the captain of the football team, and everybody else is struggling. So I think it speaks volumes to not only young people, but you know, adults who live through adolescence.
And you just finished doing a workshop of another show you've been involved with off and on for a while.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll eventually see the light on the Great White Way by a couple of incredibly talented women. It's Ever After, based on the movie of the 1990s.
And you can tell us who you were playing, or is that sort of a spoiler?
Yeah, I don't think it's a spoiler, since so many people are familiar with the movie. But this is a take on the Cinderella story that has her being a much stronger figure, and the fairy godmother is in this case Leonardo da Vinci, who was in fact at the French court back in the day, in the last few years of his life. Very much like Wicked, it's about empowering young women. And so I have a feeling it'll find a strong audience.
And is it true that you sing Mona Lisa in the second act?
It is not true.
No, they might add it in previews. David, long before I met you, another show you were in, Bells Are Ringing, I've always admired how expert you were in these various studio albums, I guess it came out in the 80s in particular, of Gershwin scores and Cole Porter scores. You were kind of the master. If they ever needed someone to put over these songs in a way that sounded modern and still respected the intention of the original, what's it like doing a studio recording of a show you weren't necessarily in for posterity?
Yeah, it's a good question, because you don't have context in the same way that you do when you've been rehearsing and running a show. I think I was lucky enough to do standalone pieces because my specialty tended to be patter songs, and they are more easily taken out of context. So the character involved in these songs tended to be telling a story within the song itself, and you didn't have to have a reference to the rest of the show. One of the pieces that I think you're going to play is actually from a production, though, of You Never Know, which was a Cole Porter show that didn't fare so well back in the day. He was writing it when he had his famous equestrian accident, which crushed his legs. In fact, there's an urban myth. I don't know whether it's true or not, but it's said that he, while, you know, flayed out on the ground there and waiting for help, finished writing the lyric to the title song from the show.
I think it's a suburban myth, because it happened out in Long Island.
Ah, there you are. The first song I think you're going to hear is Let's Not Talk About Love, a famous patter song from that score.
Well, David, your performances always give me delight, as does our friendship, and thank you for being such a fan of the show. It means a lot to me.
Well, thank you. My favorite song, of course, is the opening of your show. I don't know why.
Oh, because you are the voice of Broadway to Main Street, so thank you for that. I still owe you lunch, I think, 10 years later.
Okay.
Very good. All right.
Can I get to pick where?
Yeah, you get to pick.
Okay, you will be sorry about that.
I hope not.
Great to be with you. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, David. Let's listen to David Garrison.
Let's talk about love, that wonderful thing. Let's blend the scent of Venice with Paris in spring. Let's gaze at the moon and try to believe we're Venus and Adonis or Adam and Eve. Let's throw away anxiety. Let's quite forget propriety, respectable society, the rector and his piety, and contemplate l'amour in all its infinite variety. My dear, let's talk about love. Pretend I'm Chopin, and you'll be George Sand. We're on the Grand Canal, and oh, baby, it's grand. Let's mention Valkyr and helmeted knights. You're beautiful, Brunhilde. I'm Siegfried in tights. Let's probe the authenticity of Garbo's eccentricity. Have movie stars felicity or merely good publicity? Let's try to be explicit on illicit domesticity. My dear, let's talk about love. You don't want to talk about love? All right, let's talk about drugs. Let's talk about pills. Let's picture Pasadena in Beverly Hills. Let's start a new dance. Let's try a new step. Or investigate the cause of Mrs. Roosevelt's pep. Why not discuss, my dearie, the life of Wallace Beery? Or bring a Jeroboam on and write a drunken poem on astrology, mythology, geology, philology, pathology, psychology, electrophysiology, spermology, phrenology. I owe you an apology, but let's not talk about love. The weather's so warm and you are so cute. Let's dream about Tahiti and tropical fruit. Let's get some champagne from over the seas and drink to Sammy Goldwyn. Include me out, please. Let's check on the veracity of Barrymore's capacity and why his drink capacity should get so much publicity. Let's even have a huddle over Havid Univacity. But let's not talk about, in case you play cards, I've got some right here. So how about a game of gin rummy, my dear? Or if you feel warm and bathing's your whim, let's get in the all together and enjoy a short swim. Now, honey, I suspect y'all of being intellectual. And so instead of gushing on, let's have a big discussion on timidity, stupidity, solidity, frigidity, avidity, trepidity, Manhattan and vicinity, fatality, morality, legality, finality, neutrality, reality, or southern hospitality, pomposity, verbosity. I'm losing my velocity, but let's not talk about love.
And that was David Garrison singing from Cole Porter's You'll Never Know. One of the things we've tried to do over the years, over our previous 10 years on the air in on Broadway to Main Street, is to have a holiday show and to bring people in who bring in their own recordings or their own favorite holiday songs, and maybe they're on Broadway currently. One of my favorites was Anne Harada, who's just had an extraordinary string of work even during this ridiculous pandemic. So she was on our third holiday show, and I'm happy to welcome her back.
Hello.
Nice to hear your voice and see you through the miracles of modern science. So you've actually had a pretty busy time in the last 8 years, my goodness, in Cinderella, and recently Schmigadoon, which has captured the fan base by storm. You also traveled. You were filming some stuff all over the world, as I could see.
Yes,
on the internet.
I was in Ireland filming Disenchanted, the sequel to Disney's Enchanted. And then I went to Atlanta and I filmed a movie there called Jerry and Marge Go Large, starring Bryan Cranston and Annette Bening.
Wow. So
I've been busy.
And Disenchanted is scheduled to hit when, we think?
Fall 2022 on Disney Plus.
Wow. We're looking forward to that. And to tell me a little bit about the experience of Schmigadoon. A bright spot during these slightly dark
spot.
Times.
That was the fall of 2020. And we all went up to Vancouver to shoot it. And that was before the vaccines or anything like that. So you can just imagine what the COVID protocols were like. We all had to quarantine in our hotel rooms for 2 weeks. I mean, really hard quarantine, like do not leave your room to go, you know, anywhere.
Wow. You certainly had a cast of the glories of Broadway up
Definitely.
There in that hotel.
Yeah.
But you all made friends somehow, somewhere.
Oh,
afterwards.
Yeah. We all, of course, you know.
Right.
But it wasn't quite sort of like the hoo-hoo, let's run around Vancouver kind of.
Right.
Thing that it could have been, I guess.
Well, maybe next. Do you think there might be a sequel?
I do think there might be a sequel, but
that's all you can say at the moment.
That's really all I can say.
Well, something to look forward to. And everything you do on stage, on film, on television, in recordings is always a delight. And I want to thank you for being one of our first guests on Broadway to Main Street and for dropping in today.
Oh, of course. Of course.
And do you want to set up your magnificent solo that we're going to hear?
I'm Mrs. Menlove, the first lady of the town. My husband is the mayor, played by Alan Cumming. And I worship him and think he's the greatest thing that's ever walked the planet, because he's just the loveliest husband in the world. And when Cecily Strong's character asks me about our relationship, this is the song that I sing to her.
Well, we think you're one of the greatest things in the universe. So thank you for joining us. And I hope we have a bright future and we see you again soon.
Thank you.
Some men like to fight and curse. They smoke and drink and yell. Leave you flat, or even worse, they stay and make life hell. But my man is gentle, as soft and sentimental as any lace adorned a valentine. He's a queer one, that man, oh mine. Some men stumble home at dark, want dinner and dessert. Other men have eyes that spark at every passing skirt. But my man loves cooking. I've never caught him looking at other gals, more young, petite, or fine. He's a queer one. Show me any other man more tender or expressive. I only wish that nightly he were slightly more aggressive. Sometimes it may seem like he is too good to be true. Like there's a man that I can't see, just aching to break through. I wish I could free him, so I could finally see him the way he truly is, and let him shine. He's a queer one, that man, oh mine.
Anne Harada, from the recent television hit Schmigadoon. One of the great things for me on Broadway to Main Street is the ability to reach out to people I've always admired and give them a platform and a venue to share their music and share their songs. We've had so many interesting people over the years, Brian Stokes Mitchell, the dear Rebecca Luker, Randy Rainbow, you name it. And one of my favorite performers of all time is Louis J. Stadlin. So let's check in with Louis.
Welcome, Louis.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
I remember you were on our holiday program a few years ago, and you sort of represented Hanukkah from a curmudgeonly point of view. And
yes.
You gave a great quote.
That was the Grinch.
No, but I remember you said, growing up with Hanukkah meant you got 8 crappy presents instead of 1 good one on Christmas.
Yes, that's an accurate quote.
One of the things I love, Louis, is you're always watching some wonderful movie on TCM or falling in love with some actor from the golden age of Hollywood. Is there something you've seen recently?
Well, I keep seeing it. It's a recurring. My favorite romantic comedy is Remember the Night, starring Barbara Stanwyck and Fred McMurray and Beulah Bondi and Elizabeth Patterson and Sterling Holloway. So, yeah, I own it. But, you know, there are certain films that no matter how many times you've seen them, they come on and you say, well, I'll watch 5 minutes. And then, of course, you just watch it right to its conclusion.
Hopefully, in the current year, you're going to take on a major role in the American canon, yes?
Yes, indeed. I'm learning it on a day-to-day basis. Willie Loman and Death of a Salesman at the Flint Repertory Theater. That's Flint, Michigan.
Now, when I was in high school, I saw you in Candide, and as I've told you many times, you're probably sick of hearing it, changed my life. And this is a song you sang back when, I guess it was a 2-LP version. That was a big deal, practically the whole show.
Yes, and, the reason why they did that was because the original production that Sir Tyrone Guthrie directed with Barbara Cook and Robert Rounsville was so iconic. And it's such a magnificent recording with the original Hershey K orchestrations that they felt that they had to do something different. So they recorded the entire libretto along with the musical score.
And in this part, I guess there wasn't an intermission. You play the governor of some South American country.
Buenos Aires.
As a cross between Errol Flynn and Pavarotti or something. Do you remember recording that?
I do. And the story behind it is, this is, has to do with how crazy one is when they're young. I had listened to that original cast album. It was my parents' favorite. And that role was played by an opera singer. And now they give me this role where I'm playing Voltaire, Dr. Pangloss, a whole host of characters. And they say, sing that song. And I go, oh, yeah, sure, I could do that song. And, I have listened to it in the last decade. And I think, wow, under no circumstances when you become, wise and cautious enough when you get older, would I ever undertaken, singing that song? But as a kid, I said, sure, bring it on.
Well, thank goodness for your blind courage in that regard. Lewis, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you. The same to you, my friend.
Ah, what exquisite beauty. Seldom have I seen a maiden who pleases me more.
But, sir...
My dear, you are bought.
I am.
And since I am in a bountiful mood, I will even grant you the honor of sharing my table tonight.
Tonight?
Poets have said, love is undying, my love. Don't be misled, they were all lying, my love. Love's on the wing, but now while it hovers, let us be lovers. One soon recovers, my love. Soon the fever's fled, for love's a transient blessing. Just a week in bed, and we'll be convalescing. Why talk of morals when springtime is flying? Why end in quarrels, reproaches, and sighing? Crying for love, my love. I cannot entertain your shocking proposition. How could I regain my virginal condition? I am so pure that before you may bed me, you must assure me that first you will wed me, wed me. Well, again. Since you're so pure, I shall betroth you, my love. Though I feel sure I'll come to loathe you, my love, still for the thrill I'm perfectly willing. For if we must wed before we may bed, then come let us wed, my love.
Lewis J. Stadlin from the 1974 2-LP, back in the day, recording of Leonard Bernstein's Candide. Well, this is Larry Mazelon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and we're starting our second decade with a show called My Clever Friends. And I couldn't have done this show all these years without some very clever people here at the radio station supporting me. Originally, it was WPPB with Wally Smith, and now we're at WLIW-FM. And I want to thank Diane Michelli, Delaney Hefner, Bob Feinberg, who work on that great team, and my engineer, who's just been invaluable over the pandemic, Salomon Lerner, Sal Lerner, working with me in New York, wherever in the interspace. And I also want to thank our funders over the years, the Ira and Leonore Gershwin Philanthropic Fund, the Kurt Vile Foundation for Music, the Noel Coward Foundation. These are all great organizations who've helped us stay on the air all these years, 10 years and counting. Well,
I'm very pleased to welcome as our next guest, V.N. Cox, one of my favorite performers. And V.N. was not only a guest on our Christmas show, I think, say hello, V.N., welcome.
Hi.
Now, currently on Broadway, fingers crossed, there are productions revival, yet another revival of Company, I guess the third revival, and a revival of Carolina Change, both shows that you were in the second case, a show that you originated a role in. So how does that feel? Does that make you feel like a veteran, or does that make you feel less than a vet? I don't know. How does that make you feel that these two shows are up and running?
Wonderful productions. Very happy that I had the courage to go and visit my past. But it was hard, and I have not decided how I feel about it yet.
You're processing.
I'm processing it because it's a lot to process your past and passing the baton, as it were, to other wonderful young performers, and wondering what your future is going to be like.
I could see you were doing your cigarette smoking gesture.
Yes, I'm doing my cigarette smoking thing now. You know, so it was very complicated to participate in those shows.
Interesting.
Well, really hard. And like you said, I think the word processing is still in. I'm still in process. Yeah.
So one thing I don't think we've ever played on this show, even though we played other songs from it, was, I guess, another revival where you stepped into somebody's shoes that were pretty big shoes, which is Liza Minnelli, the revival of Flora the Red Menace, the only one I know of in New York ever. What was that like? And talk a little bit about the song we're going to hear from that particular production.
The show was a marvelous thing. It started my career. It was beautiful. I'm surprised that it's never been done again because it's so special and so exciting and such a wonderful show.
Their first Broadway show back in 63. But, you know, many of our listeners, I don't think, are aware that all these cast recordings and stuff that we play on in the show and that they love and they listen to are usually done under very intense circumstances where the union clock is running. You get one day to get it right. Sometimes you only get two or three shots at it if you're lucky. But I remember you telling me about A Quiet Thing and sort of what it was like to kind of hit that in the bullseye when you recorded it.
Well, we did the recording 6 months after we closed the show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think we recorded at Merkin Hall with John Kander playing the piano. Hmm. And that's it. It was just we just recorded it with him playing the piano, as it was in the show, although David Pogue played the piano in the show. And it was really wonderful coming back together and having that special day just land. And I just remember, you know, when you work on a show, when it's over, you always go back and you think about all the things that would have made it better. Even years later, you can go, oh, Lord, that moment, mm-hmm. that would have been much better if I had done that. And so having 6 months and then going back and doing it again, life had happened. And daily, everybody's life changes. So you have a 6 months more of life to put into a song. And for some reason, the song just resonated that day in a really beautiful way, and I think it's probably one of the best things I've ever. I love it. It's terrible. It's kind of, you know, weird to say that you love something that you did, but it's very special, that song, to me, and I think it really resonates right now in a really special. If people will really sit and listen, you know, that this COVID time has made a certain quietness relevant.
Wow, extremely well put. $30 a week, 30. Vianne, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope you'll come back on the show at some point.
Thank you.
And we get to see you sing and dance and do all the wonderful things you do so well in 2022.
Thank you so much, Larry. Thank you so much, and Happy New Year to everybody.
What do you call a job at Garrett and Mallix? Yeah. What do you call a fashion illustrator? Yeah. What do you call assisting Mr. Stanley? Me. What do you call $30 a week? 30, 30, 30, 30, 30. I want to run. No, I don't. I want to scream. No, I don't. I want to sit down. I don't hear anything. Bells, drums, trumpets. I don't hear anything. Do you hear anything? No? Well, what do you know? When it all comes true, just the way you planned, it's funny. It's a quiet thing.
Deanne Cox from the revival of Flora the Red Menace. Well, one of the great things that I was able to talk about are over the course of our 10 years, what's actually going on in the theater. And of course, when Stephen Sondheim passed in the late days of 2021, there was a lot of discussion about him everywhere, but on a couple of shows here. And let's continue that with my next guest, the wonderful Malcolm Getz.
So one of the things, Malcolm, that clearly was a big deal for musical theater enthusiasts in 2021 was the passing of Steve Sondheim. And I know you worked with him on a number of occasions, particularly on the first, I guess the first New York revival of Merrily We Roll Along back in 94.
You know, when the first one came around, I was probably 15 or 16 growing up in Florida. But I used to read the New York Times already, and I remember reading an ad for them casting the original production, and they said they were looking for kids who sang and acted and played an instrument. And I begged my mother to let me go up on audition. She was like, no way. So then when it came around in 94, I was a couple of years out of drama school, and my agents always say I'm not the best actor politically because they'll send me an audition for a play and I'll say, oh, Michael Hayden should play this or Michael Serber should play this. And, but when they sent me Merrily, I said, I should play this. I felt very strongly. I just knew that because I played the piano, it just seemed like a good fit. And it's one of the few times in my life I was able to carry that energy into the auditions for Susan Schulman and Michael Lichtenfeld and Michael Rafter, and just sort of walked to Jay Binder was casting. And I just walked in. I was sort of like, here I am. And happily they concurred.
Yeah. Well, I think you were the first, you may well have been the first, maybe John Rubinstein could have played the piano, but you certainly were everything that a Franklin Shepherd had to be. Everybody I've spoken to about Sondheim, and from my, also from my limited experience, said what a great note giver he was. He could sometimes be a little tough, but he was immensely precise, laser-like. Did you have any encounters with him where he opened something up for you
He was so supportive of us and the production and me. The first time we did a run through for him, he came up to me afterwards and he's like, who are you? Because I'd just basically gotten out of school. And he's like, where did you learn how to play the piano like that? And most of the conversations we had, I remember one was about growing up, because growing up in the context of the show is earlier on when they're closer to 40. And they wrote it, I think, because they felt like Franklin, the audiences felt like they couldn't get inside of the protagonist's mind, much in the same way that people say about Bobby and company. So they wrote Growing Up as a chance for the audience to see that Franklin was struggling with issues that were meaningful, that he was invested in his family and his friends. But it goes in and out of it. It starts off with Franklin playing the song that he and Charlie wrote in the show, which is called Good Thing Going. And then it goes into sort of the meat of the song, which is a song called Growing Up. And the first few times I did it, I played the whole thing, and Steve came over and he's like, no, you can't play Growing Up. You can only play Good Thing Going. And so we had a conversation about it. And at first I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, Good Thing Going is the song that Franklin wrote. You can, Franklin, in the construct of Merrily, Franklin can only play the songs that he has written with Charlie. The rest of it is the text of the play by Stephen Sondheim, George Firth. So it was interesting.
Interesting. Right. Because he can't play his own subconscious. He can only play the work that he's written.
Right. Exactly. So it was interesting staging wise, because I would sit down and I'd start up, da 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 dee, da da da. And then eventually when it goes, so old friend, now it's time to, I'd stand up and walk away from the piano. And then I'd come in and sit back down and I'd play again. And he was very adamant about that, about his rules. Of course, what happened was then 10 years ago, I played Franklin again in Cincinnati with Becky Ann Baker, who'd done Merry With You in D.C. And I was John Doyle, so I ended up playing the whole thing.
Well, Malcolm, it's always a delight to chat with you. I hope things are going well
for
you. And we're going to segue into that delightful and moving performance of Growing Up that you did from Merrily We Roll Along.
Thank you so much, Larry. I appreciate that. Thank you.
having sold friends. Keep reminding me. Frank's old friends always seem to come through. Frank will too. So old friends, now it's time to start growing up. Taking charge, seeing things as they are. Facing facts, not escaping them, still with dreams, just reshaping them, growing up. Charlie is a hothead, Charlie won't budge. Charlie is a friend. Charlie is a screamer, Charlie won't bend. Charlie's in your corner. Mary is a dreamer, Mary's a friend. Mary is a nudge. Mary is a purist, Charlie's a judge. Charlie is a dropout, everything's a cop-out. Why is it old friends don't want old friends to change? Every road has a turning, that's the way you keep learning. So old friends, don't you see we can have it all? Moving on, getting out of the past, solving dreams, not just trusting them, taking dreams, readjusting them, growing up, growing up, trying things, being flexible, bending with the road, adding dreams when the others don't last, growing up, understanding that growing never ends. Like old dreams, some old dreams, like old friends.
Malcolm Getz from the first New York revival of Merrily We Roll Along by the much-missed Stephen Sondheim. Well, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street. And if you like the show, if you've been listening in last year, 2 years, 10 years, as we go into our next decade, you know, you can always follow up by going to BroadwayToMainStreet.com or WLIW.com. And you can look at our archives. We have 437 shows. That's a lot of shows, folks, but they're all there as podcasts for you to enjoy. And one of the exciting things for me now as we sort of stagger back to live theater, one step forward, two steps back, are the cabaret performers who are in there doing their all to devote their talents to live performance. And none better and none more fun for me than Eric Comstock and Barbara Fasano.
Great to be with you always, Larry. Happy anniversary, many more decades.
So glad to be with you, Larry. Great to see you.
Great. Well, you know, among the success stories of the last difficult year and a half, I think has to be your Red Wall Saloon, but even better, your pivot to live performances in Birdland, what, every week since Labor Day? Is that close to being right?
Yes, that is right. Birdland, God bless them, kept their hats on, and they reopened at the end of the summer, and then we came back in September live. And we are continuing on every Saturday at 5:30 with our bassist, Sean Smith.
In the big room.
In the big room.
Now, I think it's important not only for people to go and see you, because it's a wonderful show, which changes every week. But Eric, maybe you can, help people understand that the protocols and stuff are fantastic at Birdland, and they should definitely feel like they can go and not worry about much of anything.
Yes, they insist, of course, on cards and ID, and everybody is well spaced. And we're very careful with our meet and greet after the show.
And I know Barbara, just following you somewhat enigmatically on Facebook, that you and Sean put together a new version of one of Kurt Vile's greatest songs.
Yes, and that's such a thrill to sing. You know, I've been thinking about that the title song from their 1949 musical Lost in the Stars, and talked about it with Sean. And he just went so deep into it. It was just fantastic, and wrote an absolutely beautiful voice and bass arrangement of that song. And we debuted that over Christmas when we were performing at Birdland for the Christmas holidays. And we're continuing to do that. We just did it again last week, and we're continuing to do that. And it's quite powerful. You know, if you think of that lyric for Lost in the Stars, I mean, it resonates in beautiful and terrible ways right now.
And Eric, I assume you're dredging the Bob Merrill catalog for something?
Well, it's always possible we'll do something from Henry, Sweet Henry.
We can only hope, yes.
If not Home, Sweet Homer. Or even, yes, Take Me Along. Yes, I mean, there are, I think we share the great love of that 50s and 60s Broadway songbook, even the shows that were not so hot. Beautiful original cast records were made, which made the shows sound better than perhaps they were, and imperishable material sung by such talented stars.
Indeed.
Exactly what you do on Broadway to Main Street, of course.
Thank you. Well, speaking of imperishable stars, you're going to serve up a duet. We're going to hear from you because we want everybody to play something that represents their high standard of work here today on our 10th anniversary show. You have chosen what?
We've chosen As Long As I Live, which is by Harold Arlen and Ted Kohler. And that's a track from my Arlen collection, my CD called Written in the Stars. And it's got a great jazz ensemble on it. John DeMartino's on the piano, and Eric and I duet on it. And that, of course, is from one of their Cotton Club reviews in the early 30s, and was introduced by a very promising 16-year-old chorus girl called Lena Horne.
Well, listeners will not find two talented people as long as they live. So I'm thrilled to have you, Eric and Barbara. And anytime you want to promenade along from Broadway to Main Street, the door is open.
Thank you so much, Larry. Such a pleasure.
Many more years. Thank you.
Here we go. Maybe I can't live to love you as long as I want to. Life isn't long enough, baby, but I can love you as long as I live.
Maybe I can't give you diamonds and things like I want to, but I can promise you, baby, I'm gonna want to as long as I live. I never cared, but now I'm scared. I won't live long enough.
That's why I wear my rubbers when it rains, and eat an apple every day, then see the doctor anyway.
What if I can't live to love you as long as I want to?
Long as I promise you, baby, I'm gonna love you. As long as I live.
Here.
good care of me, because a sneeze or two might mean the flu, and that would never, never do. What if I can't live to love you as long as I want to? Long as I promise you, baby, I'm gonna love you as long, long as I live.
Eric Comstock and Barbara Fasano giving us a Harold Arlen classic. Well, it's time to wrap up our show about clever friends, and you listeners are the best friends a host producer could ever have. I appreciate so much your loyalty and your diligence and your cards and letters, folks. Keep them coming. You can always send something to me or send any suggestions. We have a Facebook page. You can find us there. And I've just loved being a part of this and sharing the great music from that little corner, the Theater District, Broadway, and how it's emanated out through the city and the country and the universe. So keep listening to our second decade. And we started with Liza Minnelli and a song about friendship. So why don't we go out with a song by Cy Coleman and Carolyn Lee, also about friendship, sung by her mom, none other than Judy Garland, singing the closing number from Little Me. Thanks, folks, and we'll see you every week in our second decade. Here's to all of us.
Here's to us, my darling, my dear. Here's to us tonight. Not for what might happen next year, 'cause it might not be nearly as bright. But here's to us, for better or worse, and for thanks to a of our beautiful day. Yes, for you and for you.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3:00.